Well, good morning, Belo family. I know it's a little weird to say, but I hope you're enjoying your Sunday at home. Hope you're enjoying Labor Day weekend. We're so excited. Next Sunday, we'll be in our building. And when I get done today, we'll just kind of go over once again the schedule coming up for everything as we get ready to make our move. And I am just, I'm getting super excited. We've been at the building a bunch. Everything's just about finished, and everything's kind of getting its final touches, and so we're really excited about the 8th and all that has in store for us. Today, starting out, we're going to be talking a lot, or actually predominantly the whole time, out of Ephesians 4. And so I want us to read Ephesians 4 together, starting in verse 1, going all the way to verse 16. And Paul says this, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace is given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, it says, when he ascends on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascends, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descends is the one who also ascends far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." This is the word of the Lord. We have spent the past couple weeks talking about and kind of leaning into the idea of community. And for the past couple weeks, we've really been leaning into the idea of living life and life in community. And today, I've kind of felt the push to move us into really talking about the change in us that comes from community and the responsibility in which community has. It would be safe to say that we are all kind of aware that there is a responsibility when you would call yourself a part of something that's anything. And there's also a change that comes in us when we join a part of something. Recently, I've been thinking about there is a movie, a classic of American cinema called My Big Fat Greek Wedding. If you haven't seen it, incredible movie. And it's interesting because these two lead characters, if you don't know the movie, the lead female character is a part of an extremely Greek family. They are immigrants that moved to the U.S., and she's now kind of a first-generation American living life. And her whole family has this strong Greek heritage. Everything they eat is Greek, the way they talk, the way they think. Everything is built around their home. And she ends up meeting kind of a classic urban American professor, and they kind of begin this love story. And through this process, she's kind of doing what she can do to kind of actually keep her new guy basically from seeing the world through Greek eyes and kind of not being indoctrinated by her family. But as soon as he begins to meet them, he actually sees the opposite. He actually begins to fall in love, not just with her, but with her family. And if you really watch the film, what you're seeing is his family kind of has this kind of blank, non-historic, no really identity or purpose for themselves beyond just being individuals. And what he finds as he gets deeper into this relationship is this reality that when people feel closer connected to their heritage, their culture, a people group, a way of life, it actually breeds something more in you. You actually feel kind of a part of something that means more to you. It leads me to this idea that what you are a part of will almost always define your existence. What you are a part of will almost always define your existence. There's an ever-present reality that the things that you surround yourself with, you become like. If you ever go to travel baseball games or travel, you know, sporting events, you kind of see all the parents have very similar attire. They have the same way in which they tailgate and structure their day, and the snacks are the same and this and that. And it's not really a coincidence. Rather, it's just a reality of the way things are, where they are. Their surroundings are kind of dictating who they are. I remember every year going to Canada from here for the summer to be with my grandparents, and me and my sister would go home and have a style of clothing we wear, a type of shoes that we liked. And every time we went home, it was completely different. And it's not just because those things aren't making it up there. Rather, culture, often where we are, the community in which we're joined to, dictates often the way we interact with everything around us. Our environment, our aesthetics, our emotions, all of that is often driven. When you looked up culture in the past and you realized somebody was Jewish or Russian or German or Canadian or Japanese or Chinese, it would often begin in your brain to give you a set of ideas of which maybe how this person now viewed their life, or how you viewed how they talk or thought or process things, because the culture we are around, it defines us. And Paul is actually in Ephesians 4 kind of leading us in this direction. Ephesians is a really interesting book. Paul, if you look at Acts 19, is traveling through Ephesus, and Ephesus is kind of the grand central place in which all of Romans worship their gods. And we see Paul began this kind of great evangelistic ministry there. And so when Paul's writing this letter to Ephesians, it's got this really interesting two sections where chapters 1-3 really kind of break down what the gospel story is, what Jesus's story is. And Paul's using these first three chapters to kind of show that Jesus, through the cross, has actually reconciled and is reconciling all of creation back to himself, right? And so Paul will take after 3 from 4-6 and say, if Jesus is reconciling all of creation to himself, what does that mean for us? And Paul will go on to kind of share the story of us and who we are and what we're called to do and kind of our holy vocation, if you would say it, moving forward. And so we start here, and as we read in Ephesians 4, Paul starts with therefore. And I think if you're a big time reader of the scriptures, you will know that therefore is often the word that Paul will use in his epistles to kind of break up, okay, I've explained all of this. So if I've explained all of this, that means this, right? And so let's read Ephesians 4, 1-3 again. And I want us to kind of break down some of this scripture as we begin to talk about community and really what Paul's emphasis in community is. Ephesians 4, 1-3 says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble, gentle, and be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. The most interesting thing here is that Paul's main focus is unity. Paul's main goal throughout a lot of his writings is actually unity. That the church or the bride of Christ will find her strength in the unity of the bride herself. The more that we can stay together, focused, one mind, one purpose, one mission, the more that becomes a reality for us, the more that will become an ever-present reality for the world around us. And so Paul's saying, what should be the initial response to this idea of the gospel? It should be that as one people group, we agree to unify ourselves and live gently and live humble and to live patient with each other. This does not mean that it's not going to be hard, but Paul is calling us often to live past our preferences. We've talked a lot about this as a kingdom family, that our hope is that you are not called to a preaching style at Beloved, that you're not called to a worship style, but that you're called to a family. Because there's a reality of, with the litany of speakers that we have, with the different amount of songs we do and the different amount of ways we do things, that there may be something you don't like. There may be something that's not your fancy, it's not your preference, it's not the way you would do it. But there's a reality that what we're binding ourselves to as a group is not an idea, but rather a people, right? This is the idea of unity Paul's trying to get across, that because Paul makes this idea, making allowance for each other's faults. Paul's not saying people aren't going to be crappy. Paul's not saying people aren't going to make mistakes. Paul's not saying that not everything's going to be perfect. But to live in a state where we realize that our strength is found in how we unify ourselves. Community and unity to that community will actually begin an extreme and deeper change in us. It will do something in us, through us, and to us. And Paul's asking that in everything we do, we break down and examine ourselves, and we examine, have I done something to put myself out of a place of seeing and seeing myself in unity, not just with the Lord, but with the people around me. Because love is supposed to be basically the fuel of this engine that is the bride. Paul goes on in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, and this is so important. In verse 11, he says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul takes this kind of chunky set of verses here, 11 through 13, and he really kind of gives us three main ideas here. First being this, that the church is actually here to equip the saints. The purpose for the church as a structure is to equip you to be able to be who you're designed to be in your city, in your cubicle, in your vocation, with your family. Not just for you, but so that the people around you would see a difference in how to exist, in which that would be so enticing it would draw them in. This is honestly how church is genuinely designed to grow. It's not through advertisement and great social media, rather through the hunger and tangible nature of you looking so different that the people around you want what you have. And that actually only comes through you interacting with people. But Paul gives us this idea that the purpose of the church is for the equipping of the saints. Second, he brings in the fivefold to the church. He brings the idea of the apostle, of the prophet, of the teacher, of the shepherd, of the evangelist. And this is not just so that we understand the governmental structure of the church, but it's also really also to show the diversity of the church. I think often one of the things that I've struggled with in my own life, in my own kind of world of Christendom, is if I heard worship done a certain way, if I heard a message done a certain way, if I heard a certain way that a communicator spoke, I kind of began to get shut off. I kind of would kind of shut off my brain because that really wasn't my vibe. And it's not to say that we don't have some preferences, but rather Paul is showing that within any kingdom family, there is diversity. And there's a diversity of talents, of ways, and of ideas. And that's not to say when you see diversity and something that necessarily doesn't always fit your peg that you go away, that you leave, that you change. Rather, it's to show that the body is naturally going to be diverse. All of us have different family of origin. All of us come from different ways of viewing the world. Some of us are from the South. Some of us have moved from the North to the South. Some of us are not from this country altogether. All those things create a diversity of thought, of action, of communication, of the way in which we do everything, raise our kids, eat our food, think about money. All those things change dependent upon our region, our city, our family, all of that. And Paul's saying that when we see diversity, it's not a call to something other than to realize that that's what the church will genuinely be. And third, and I think this is really where I want to hone in for us, is that he shows that we are actually called to unity and not uniformity. This all plays together in diversity, right? The unity of the faith is not based in the idea that we all have a uniform way of being. We've talked about this as a church staff, as a leadership team, that if we all believed the same about everything, and if we all saw everything the exact same way, it would kind of get boring. I can honestly say that almost all the things that at Be Love we would call successful in discipleship and ministry and how we do things have actually come through long conversations, sometimes debate, sometimes different ways of seeing things. And so really there's this idea that, and we need to be wildly aware that when we see the idea of unity in the church, often, especially with denomination, especially with whatever you want to call that thing that you like the most, whether it be the gifts, whether it be not the gifts, whether it be leaning more liturgical, whether it be leaning more supernatural, it doesn't actually mean, if everything doesn't fit you, that it's not for you, because unity is actually never based in uniformity. Unity is actually never based in uniformity. It is actually anti what the church has been designed to be. The church was meant to be diverse, but found together even through its diversity. Paul brings all of this idea to head when he comes to the place that the goal of equipping the saints, the goal of the fivefold, is to be there until we obtain unity, and not just unity, but the knowledge of the Son of God, which leads to mature manhood. Now, let me ask you this, because this is something that I've never thought about. Would you equate the idea of growing in spiritual maturity to being found in unity? I wouldn't. I wouldn't see it that way. I wouldn't see that unity and maturity are found together. But Paul is saying that the unity of our faith combined with the knowledge of the Son of God actually leads to mature manhood. To the measure, he ends with, the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's an interesting thought. The thought process that somehow the more unified we are, the more mature we become. Somehow, the more unified we are, the more aware of the knowledge of the goodness and the nature of the Son of God we become. I don't think this is a novel idea. I think it's actually more true than we can imagine, because the more we are together, the more we become aware of the reality of the goodness of God. It's just the nature of it. It's weird to think about it. How many of us, if you come and had a coffee with me, or we sat down and you said, look, I'm kind of looking to grow in my maturity for the Lord, and if I asked you, well, how has your unity been? Would those two things equate for you? Would those two things, or would you be like, well, no, I'm not worried about that. I'm wanting to learn how to grow spiritually. I'm wanting to learn how to get closer to the Lord. And Paul would say one answer to that, shockingly, is actually to unify yourself to a kingdom family, to unify yourself to the bride, right? We're coming into a new season as a family. We're coming into what I believe is a season of us planting roots and becoming an actual presence in our city, in our region, becoming known, if you would say it that way. And I think that this will be the greatest time for us to examine our unity, because unity is extremely important in what we're trying to do. Because the more unified we are, the more we can influence our city. And that's going to require an amount of unity that I don't think we've seen yet. There's an incredible quote from N.T. Wright that goes like this, that the church is not simply a religious body looking for a safe place to do its own thing within a wider political or social world. The church is neither more nor less than people who bear witness by their existence and in particular their holiness and their unity that Jesus is the world's true Lord, ridiculous or even scandalous though this may seem. There's a reality that our unity, our holiness, preach out that our existence belongs to the Lord and that our existence shows that that Jesus actually is Lord. There's a reality that our unity actually brings us into a place of showing who the Christ actually is. We are now, as of now, less than 7 days from moving into a new home. And really, and I realized this kind of this week, actually what would actually really we would call our first home. I would say that we had a place to gather, that we had a place to have services, but really up until now, we have not had what I would call a home. This new building has our name on it. It has our footprint in it. It has a piece of us in it everywhere that you would go. And I think now is the greatest time to look at, in my opinion, what is required of a kingdom family and what will be required really for us as a kingdom family going forward if we are going to see our city change. There's a reality that I believe the message that is in our house, the message that is being birthed inside of you, this idea of the reality of the kingdom existence being now is meant for our city. It's meant for the people around us. It's meant for not just our community, but our community as a whole. And because of that, it's going to require some more of this. And so I honestly believe that being in a kingdom family, being a part of a family, does require three things: commitment, immersion, and gifts. So first would be your commitment. I believe that we are moving into a season where it's going to require you to raise your commitment level. It's going to require you to find a way to be in the house, to be with this family, to do what the Acts 2 church did and actually make being together a priority, make being together as a family as important as maybe other things, to maybe see the idea that when we gather, it matters. I talked a little bit about this last week, about the idea that where two or three are gathered together, Jesus says that he is in the midst, which tells me that as more people gather, the more the manifest presence of God becomes a reality. What that means is that for us to experience the move of God that we're praying for, it will actually require you. It requires your presence. It requires your physical body being with us. It requires the commitment to your community weekly. It requires your commitment to giving, to being, to all of that, which leads to point two, which is not just commitment, but immersion. Another huge requirement, I think, for us going into this fully will be immersion. There's a reality that they're finding out through science more and more now that the greatest way to learn a language is to not learn it by books and by learning it a traditional way, but actually immersion into the culture in which that language is, because you're forced to become something else. And I think oftentimes we can get caught into a place where when we hear things like it's going to require commitment, we check that box off of, well, I show up, I come. But then it leads to this idea of, am I immersed? Am I immersed in what's going on? Am I in a community trying to fully live out what it means to be deeply in a community with confession and relationship and to be open? Am I actually immersed into worship? Am I immersed into the culture? Am I actually doing what's being asked of me? Am I participating? Here's another one. Am I serving? Because I think all of us would say that we're immersed into our own families at home. You're immersed into the structure of your home and dinner and lunch and breakfast and dishes and bills and the way you do things and the rules of the house. You are completely immersed in your culture. How much are you immersed into the culture of the kingdom family that you're a part of? Because I think for people coming in to be able to catch what's being caught. They're going to need to see if people who are not just committed, but they have an immersion into the community where it's actually become a part of them, because the community is actually built on a group of people, not on a leader, not on a staff, not on a building, but out of a group of people. And third is gifts. It's going to require your gifts. It's going to require for you to be you. I talked about this, but Paul gives the fivefold, but in Romans and in 1 Corinthians, actually breaks down different things like the gift of finances, the gift of servanthood, the gift of hospitality, the gift of healing. He breaks down all these different gifts, and I think that a church body, or as what we would call a kingdom family, is only truly being who they're designed to be when everyone is adequately using the gifts that have been placed in them. There's not a person that walks into our door that's a part of our kingdom family, that's a part of our community, that doesn't have something that they offer that nobody else does in the way in which they can do it. And so this is actually going to require not just commitment and immersion, but for that to lead to you using the things that are inside of you. I believe these three commitments actually create three things in us. I believe that commitment to a kingdom family actually creates one unified purpose. Oftentimes, the frustrating thing as a communicator can be when you're taking 5 or 6 weeks to talk about one topic to get people somewhere. And this week you see this person, and then you don't see that person for 2 weeks. Then you see this person over here, you don't see that them for. And actually, what you end up trying not to do, but you end up doing, is backtracking and maybe recapping things you've said to try to get people where you're going. And there's a reality that commitment actually breeds a unified purpose, because the more we're together, the more we understand the purpose, goal, and mission of what we're trying to accomplish, right? What does immersion lead to? Immersion actually leads to change. Oftentimes, the greatest stepping stone to people in the church is they hear messages about how to change, how to become different. If you do this, you will actually see something different in your spirit, in your soul, with your family. But they don't actually immerse themselves into it. They don't actually put anything into practice. They don't actually take the words that are being spoken and actually go home with it. I remember one of the most incredible conversations I had is I was having coffee with a guy in our family, and he said, yeah, on Mondays after we get done on Sundays, I actually take the message notes and I sit with them in my devotional time and I go over them again and just ask the Lord to speak to me and kind of, you know, divulge into them further. And I thought, I don't even know if I would do that week in and week out. But it's amazing to see, hey, I know the Lord spoke to you. I know this is a part of our family and a part of our community. So I'm going to take what that is and I'm going to bring it into myself to make sure I'm getting everything out of it that I'm supposed to. How often do we actually immerse ourselves into the fullness of what our kingdom family is trying to do? We have a vision service coming up where we're going to begin to share some really new avenues and a new way in which we want to really practice discipleship as a family. And our hope when we do this is that it's not just something that you see or kind of clever verbiage. Rather, we hope it's something that you fully immerse yourself in, because without immersion, it will do nothing. And then lastly, I think that the requirement of gifts will actually lead to a deeper hunger, not just for you, but for the people around us. I think when a family has purpose, they actually begin to see change and they're actually hungry for the Lord. It begins to ignite something into our city, into our community, which will create in people the natural desire to respond. And I think what evangelism and kind of local evangelism is missing and needing right now is a people group who looks so much like the Lord, it forces them to just organically respond to what that is. I think that as a family, we are on the precipice of seeing an extremely big move of the Lord. I think we're about to see some growth as a family internally, externally, and that's only going to come through everyone being who they're designed to be. Just because we're in a new building really doesn't mean anything. Just because we have a new kitchen and new bathrooms and a new place to meet and a sign on the door, It will mean nothing if a family does not see the responsibility of what it means to be who they're designed to be within that family, within that community, and everyone doing it together for one unified purpose. And so I want you to have an awareness that being tight-knit in a community, being together as one body and one church, will bring change, not just to us, but to people around us. And I think what people are looking for right now, whether it's like bio life hacking, whether it's self-help books, whether it's books on habit and discipline, everyone is looking for, how do I change? How do I become someone different? How do I change this thing about me or that thing about me? And I think that we are not only on the beginning tracks of becoming more like Jesus, but we're on the beginning tracks of showing people what genuine change can look like. And so my hope is that you look at these requirements, you look at what they can do, and you remind yourself as we move forward as a kingdom family of what's going to be required of you as we make this move. The commitment level, the immersion, the gifts that we are going to need, whether that be in serving, attending, your community, whatever it may look like, we're going to need everyone that calls us home, everyone that calls us family, to be together. And then we're going to need more people than that to do it with us. And so my hope this week as we get ready for Sunday is you just begin to prepare your hearts for this new season. As one door closes and one chapter ends and another one opens and another one begins, that we re-examine our dedication, not just to the Lord, but to the season that's to come. And that we kind of buckle up our bootstraps a bit and prepare to bring Jesus to our city and our community through a deeper dedication and a deeper closeness, not just with ourselves, but with the Christ. And so I'm just going to pray, and then I want to go over a couple things as we begin to move into the next couple of weeks of transition and change and just a bunch of different events coming up. So Father, we just ask that you reignite a fire in us as we get so close to being 4 years old as a church and as a family, that you reignite the fire that maybe was lit when we first came in the door, when we first knew what this could become, when we had our first visions of what this family could accomplish and do in our city. Help us to further our apprenticeship and our discipleship to you. Help us to further our unity and commitment to each other, to see our city transformed, to see our city believe the good news, become the good news, and share the good news. Father, we ask that you do it in us, that you make us a part of what you're doing in the earth and what you're wanting to accomplish in the greater Chattanooga area. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Well, we have a couple things coming up, and we just want to kind of keep you up to date on the entire schedule of events that's going to come up. So this Sunday, September 8th, will be our first service at our new building. Service will be at 4 o'clock, like it's always been. We will have kids' church like normal, and really nothing should not flow the way that it normally does, except that our sanctuary is on the right and not on the left. And so when you come in the door, just be aware that everything should be set up. You should have no worries. But September 8th will be our very first service. The parking lot will be done. Everything will be prepared. And so we hope that everyone that calls us home will come on out for that. On September 11th, which is a Wednesday night at 7 p.m., we are going to have a vision night at our new building, which is 2290 Cloud Springs Road. And so our hope that night is to go over just again who we are, our purpose, our mission, and then we kind of want to share what the future of B-Love looks like when it comes to discipleship and the way in which we follow and apprentice ourselves to Jesus. We've come up with some incredible things this summer through prayer, through a bunch of meetings, and through just kind of examining what discipleship should look like. And we're super excited. We really want you to be in the room, because the most explanation you're going to get of everything that's happening at B-Love and everything we are and everything we're going to do is going to be on September 11th. So if you have a question, it's most likely going to be answered that night. So come 7 o'clock Wednesday night, which will lead into Sunday the 15th. That Sunday, we are actually going to be doing a volunteer training as we have a couple new volunteer ministries, and just to kind of get a better grip on the room and the structure of the building and how we'll do things moving forward. So here's my ask of you. If you are already a volunteer, I would like for you to go into the Church Center app, and what I want you to do is find the place you volunteer, or maybe there's another place you want to volunteer, or two places you want to volunteer. You don't have to just sign up for one, but find where you volunteer and re-sign up and re-register for us. There is every volunteer ministry right now is available to sign up for in the Church Center app. Not only that, but every ministry in which you can serve in actually has a description if you're looking for a little more info on what each group is. Here's second, though. If you don't serve at BeLove, my ask is that as we get ready to make this move next week, that you commit yourself to registering to volunteering in one ministry. Ushers, greeting, the resource hub. Katie would love for me to mention kids. Please, for the love of God, if you would like to serve in kids, register to serve in kids. Whatever it may be, we need more people in every place that you can serve. And so if you don't serve, I would ask that if you're a part of our family, that you register and sign up to serve somewhere on a Sunday. The hope is that with enough people, everyone's only serving every 4 to 6 weeks. And if everyone would serve and can serve, that will be a reality for us. And so every ministry you can serve in is available to register for in the Church Center app. There is a description of each ministry and team that you can serve on, so you have an understanding of what they are. And I would just ask that in the same way in your house, if someone lives there, they have responsibilities. You see a commitment level and a need to serve and have responsibility in your kingdom family and our house as a whole. And then this will lead all the way into September 22nd, which is our grand opening service. We're kind of have like an inaugural service for the building, a grand opening that night. We have some kind of some special things planned pre-service, which we'll get some more info out on that soon. But our hope is that you do everything you can to clear your schedule, cancel that trip to the Bahamas. Maybe don't do that, or maybe do it, or maybe do it. But that you would find a way to be with us on September 22nd as we really, in our eyes, break in and pour out an offering of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord and open this new building. So September 22nd, we really would love for you to be there. This is also, this was brought up, you know, by Stephen last week, but if there's someone you've been wanting to bring to BeLove or invite to BeLove, maybe you're watching this and you don't actually go to BeLove right now. You haven't actually been to a physical gathering. September 22nd is the best Sunday. So if you want to try us out and come on out and see what it's like, come September 22nd. If you've been waiting to invite somebody to come with you, invite them September 22nd. This, for us, we are believing, is going to be a real breakthrough Sunday of planting our roots of who we are in our city. And so we want you to do everything you can to be there on September 22nd. And I'm just going to keep saying September 22nd. So somewhere deep in your mind, implanted, even if you forget about this, and when someone says September 22nd, it's going to create some type of trigger in your brain that you know on September 22nd that that's our grand opening service and that you need to be there. And really, there should be nowhere else you should be except there on September 22nd. But everything will be coming up on social media. Everything will be coming up in our newsletter. Tomorrow morning, you'll get our newsletter again, and our newsletter is actually moving to being a weekly newsletter. So you'll get that every week with updated dates, updated things. If you ever have questions about what's going on, our newsletter, social media, our text chain, we send out information all the time. My belief from a leadership perspective is to over-communicate. I want you guys to be aware of what we're doing, what we're thinking, where we're going, and what's happening at all times. So sign up for our newsletter, join us on social media, sign up for the text line. Everything will be on there, and we are just super excited about all these things to come. We will see you now this Sunday at 2290 Cloud Springs Road as we have our first service in our first ever home as a family. Love you guys.